It's definitely a community. You could even go further and say it's like a family. I think it's a group of people that are intentional about wanting to connect with other people and be helpful.
Well, hello, I'm Jeremy Powell. And here on the Peach Jam Podcast, I get to introduce you to incredible Georgia musicians, from hometown favorites you already love to brand new voices you're about to discover. It's my job to find different types of people and different types of sounds from all over the Peach State. This podcast is a mix of performances and down-to-earth conversations, all recorded live at the GPB Studios in Midtown Atlanta. On this episode, you'll learn a little more about the Atlanta music community.
I'm Dub Mac. I'm from Atlanta, and I make soul-influenced R&B pop music. And this is my good friend, Ramadan.
It is poppy, earworm-type stuff. I didn't know what to expect when you came in.
Yeah.
But it was awesome.
Yeah, it's fun. We try to use all of our influences at the same time. You know, it's kind of a gumbo, so. Every time you come around, you make my world explode. Yeah, I'm just trying to see if you were down, but you're facing the fold.
Tell me about you, Dub Mac, and your history in the Atlanta area.
Well, like I said, I'm here, born, bred, raised. I'm a Grady baby, the, you know, few of us that are left here in the city of implants. But, you know, I'm an artist. I'm a small business owner. You know, I honest to goodness love the city. It's been amazing for me. And, you know. Not too hard to read. What you see is what you get, you know. Good friend, good father, you know. I love the music that we're making. We're really trying to challenge what people expect, especially when you see that, like, so many people are trying new genres that you wouldn't expect to be there, and in many cases they are not welcomed. So it's fun to just kind of poke around and see what we can do.
Tell me about the music scene in Atlanta, since you are a Grady baby, meaning you were born at Grady Hospital.
That's right.
And you were telling me off mic, you've lived all over. You went to high school in Buckhead, and then you lived in Fayetteville. And, like, you've kind of lived all over the city and around the metro area.
Yeah.
So you've had your toes dipped in the music scene for a long, long time.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I mean, I have a classic story where I started singing in the church. And we lived in, like, East Point, College Park, and I went to North Atlanta High School when it was on Northside Drive, which is just right in Buckhead, and it was crazy. And that's where I feel like the musical tastes really started to expand, because it was a very diverse school. Lots of kids from all over the place. I mean, there were a ton of African kids. There was a ton of Hispanic kids. So we really started to listen to different music in a way that was different, like, socially, not just, you know, having fun with, you know, what you want to hear, but what your friends are hearing, and all of us mixing it up together. And I think the whole, that's kind of a micro of the whole music scene in Atlanta, right? It's all of us here from different backgrounds, mixing it up. You see it, you know, you go to East Atlanta, you see it, you go to, you know, the Masquerade, you go somewhere downtown, you know, you see that we're all here doing it together. So it's been tremendously impactful for me, because, you know, when Ramadan, we work together. I mean, some of the stuff will have more of a rock feel to it. Some of it has a soulful feel to it. You know, some of it's just, like, full on just pop. So, you know, this, and with a city with that many influences, it's going to affect you if you're an artist, for sure. Every night I wonder why I let it take my soul. Rama used to be in this building, the green room.
Green room.
Infamous. If you're an Atlanta artist, a lot of stuff happened in that place. And I lived around there, and somebody was like, "Man, there's this building. All they doing there is make music. It's just a bunch of rehearsal spaces and stuff, right?" And I went and was just hanging out, right, just hoping to meet somebody who, you know, I could work with. And here Rama came. He had long dreadlocks and some goggles on the top of his head. And he had just gotten out of his Volkswagen. I said, "That might be my guy. That might be who I was meant to meet here." And we started consistent. And we started working. We jammed for a few hours the first time we met. And we've been good friends and collaborators ever since.
Now, Rama, where are you from?
I'm from Lansing, Michigan.
Was it the music scene that brought you down?
Any place I've ever lived is because of music.
Okay. All right. So you sought out the music scene here from Michigan.
Right.
What was it that was so attractive?
Well, Michigan was just, the talent was incredible, but there was not a whole lot of outlets for that talent. Mm-hmm. Here, it just seemed to be more opportunities.
So when you run into Dub Mac and he sees you and thinks, "Hey, that might be my guy," like, what are you thinking when you see him?
Who is this fool?
No, it was just an automatic chemistry, man. And, you know, that's number one to me with pretty much anything in life, whether it's the job you work at or, you know, anything you're pursuing. If the chemistry is there, that's the foundation for something to happen.
So I got a chance to meet you guys at a house party by The Rack was hosting it. So a band that's part of the Peace Jam family, The Rack.
Absolutely.
They were hosting this party and playing, and there's a performance space in the house. And then I found out Ramadan lives there with Carlos from The Rack. And then Dub Mac, you were there, and we were just talking and hanging out. And it seems like you have kind of it's almost like a little music collective happening in a community inside the music scene. Am I correct in this?
Absolutely.
Yeah, 100%. It's definitely a community. You could even go further and say it's like a family. I think it's a group of people that are intentional about wanting to connect with other people and be helpful and, you know, be challenged as well, you know, creatively, artistically. So, yeah, it's definitely a little microcosm of it's like a family. I see it all the time. And I mean, shout out to The Rack. They're incredible. Really, really tremendous. And they're very serious. They work really hard. So I absolutely have a lot of love for them. But yeah, it's definitely like a little offensive family.
That band is far heavier than anything that you're playing. Mm. Like they're they're touching on heavy metal.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And but y'all are working together, making completely different sounds. And then Ramadan, if you look him up online, his music does not sound like what you played today here. Mm-hmm. And so it's crossing genres, it's crossing different types of people. Is this a normal thing?
Totally normal for us. And it's not something that we really intentionally do. It's just something that we feel and we are confident in being able to express it. And good music is good music, mm-hmm. no matter what the genre is.
Are you surprised to know that your average citizen doesn't realize that that type of thing is happening beneath the surface?
Not really.
It's not surprising, but, you know, people think that things are obvious and simple and straightforward, right? I mean, we all do, right? Like, everybody just assumes that everything is very plain, right? And they don't realize that, you know, Rama, who makes music that's a little more experimental, that is more thought-provoking, right, will be the person that's producing this pop song, right? Or that the guy who does the poppy soul stuff is the one that's actually recording the vocals on the stuff that Rama is doing, or that this other person is coming in, is going to do some writing, right? Or is going to be an engineer or a drummer. Like, we all work together. And I think the real thing that's interesting is we just bring our talents to bear, and we do the best we can for each other based on what our strengths are. And we sort of kind of sew up the weaknesses or just ideas and inspiration that we bring to each other.
Trying to catch a wave, I'm surfing through ya.
So take me back to Little Dub Mac singing in church. Where was the church, and what type of singings were you doing?
It's interesting. Well, that little boy, God bless him, little fat still. we went to African Methodist? Yeah, an AME church. Went to an AME church, which was new. You know, my father was a caterer, and he ran food services for ITC, the Interdenominational Theological Center, also Morris Brown.
Mm-hmm.
So our family had close ties to different church. That school, ITC, is like a master school for preachers for divinity studies. So we had close ties to the church, and my uncle, Charles Price, sort of kind of a powerhouse, legendary kind of guy from like political education wise. So yeah, man, that little kid was in love with the Thriller album. Rhythm Nation, so many influences growing up and just being mind blown. I remember the first time I saw Purple Rain, I could have jumped out the window. Just powerful, powerful stuff. And that's crazy, like, kind of in line with the question that you're asking, you know, in addition, it's like, so you, if you're a kid in Atlanta, you grow up with NWA, right? Let's say you're growing up in the 80s, you're growing up with NWA, you're growing up with LL Cool J. You're also growing up, depending on what your parents listen to, you might be growing up with the Gap Band, right? Maybe you're growing up with, also some Cyndi Lauper, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? Some Paula Abdul, like all this kind of stuff. And it really, really has a kind of melting pot kind of effect on the way that you perceive music and the way that you, how you hear it all, right? Because, like, for example, like the dudes from, was it Full Force? You remember the dudes like from House Party?
Yeah.
The muscular cats.
Yeah.
Right. So, you know, those dudes, they wrote like all the Britney Spears stuff. or not all that stuff, right? But they wrote for Britney Spears and NSYNC, and it's crazy when you think back to like your childhood and all your influences, all that stuff just is one big mix up of all that stuff coming together. It's crazy, you know. You listen to Knight Rider, watching Knight Rider and Thundercats, and next thing you know, Eazy-E coming in through the through the window. So it's very crazy stuff.
So you have all those influences, sure. And then how old were you? You're singing at church, and you've got all this in your brain.
Man, I'm probably, this is elementary ages, so we're like 8, 9. I started in the church, continued partly in the church. Then I went to Performing Arts High School. So, man, honestly, I've been involved with music, loving music, researching and creating music one way or another since I was a little kid, man. Since I was a little kid, with us, you know, me and my buddies riding down the street on our bikes, you know, singing the song lyrics with our hands in the air, hoping we don't flip, and you know what I'm saying, face plant. But yeah, the whole time, man. And even like with music, man, like thinking just, you know, to like from the songs of the like Disney movies, man, like Little Mermaid. And I'm gonna tell you right now, anybody who says that they were a kid when that movie came out, you singing all them songs too. All of us were, right? And we still do. And like, yeah, man, I just have had such an amazing ride with music, and it's just been really played a big role in my life ever since I was a little boy.
Give me a little bit of a Little Mermaid.
That's wrong. That's wrong.
You can do it.
That's wrong, bro.
You know you can do it.
Well, she said, what is that? What do they call it? Spoon? Oh, no, what's it called? Legs? Jeremy, I love you, but you know what? I don't know if I, you know what I'm saying? You're my brother. But, you know, we gotta draw the limit somewhere.
You're the first person to turn me down.
What, you trying to get me to say Little Mermaid?
Yes.
Yeah, man. But so, I love that movie and all the ways that it's grown and changed too. Like but it's a great example, man, because all that stuff, it's all music, right? Mm-hmm. It's all music, right? Mm-hmm. And it goes to now to Broadway and then to live action, and it's all just music. It's all just art.
Under the Sea.
Oh, see, you know what? That was good.
Yeah.
That was good. Yeah. That's the one.
Yeah.
Under the Sea.
I knew I could get it out.
You get a little bit.
Catch a wave, I'm surfing through ya.
So if you went to a performing arts high school, does that mean that you did like musical theater and stuff like that too?
There was a very small component of it. I mean, it was the school had what they had called show tour, where they would rehearse different. It was sort of like theater, but a lot of it was just choral stuff. And they would travel doing that. And most of it was just singing and just learning the stuff, and which is crazy because I did it for so long. I even did some of it in college. At some point, I thought I was going to be a music teacher. I don't know how that happened, because most of the kids were, I was kind of different than most of the kids I was in, you know, the music class with, had different sort of influences, and, you know, because I was coming from the hood. You know what I'm saying? So it's a little different, but, you know, just the whole time, man, I just, you know, I can't imagine what my life would be if I didn't have those opportunities, though, man. Like, I've been doing this stuff for years.
What am I doing?
Music is my calling. Music is my passion. Music is a big part of my identity and what I've have been fortunate enough to have talent in. And I absolutely take it very seriously and look forward to find ways for it to be, you know, if somebody was to say, if you have one wish about music, you know, it would be the thing that I do all the time. Mm-hmm. Right. But in a, being realistic as a everybody can't do it. Right. Everybody. What Obama said, everybody can't be Lil Wayne. Mm-hmm. Right. Everybody's not going to make it. And I'm very optimistic, but I'm also realistic. So, no, it's not the full time thing.
But it sounds like, and correct me if I'm wrong here, mm-hmm. It sounds like in your life that music's been just very, very important since the very beginning.
Absolutely.
And your passion was to help spread the love for music to people who are around you. And that's what was making you think about being a music teacher. But now, in the community that there is in Atlanta, you're almost one of the elders who gets to pass along a lot of knowledge and direct people as well as create yourself. Am I correct in all this?
Yeah, absolutely. What the young boys call an unk. Say, what's up, unk?
Yeah.
OG. Yeah, man, absolutely. I wear that proudly. You know, I've had a long journey and have met some amazing people along the way, and I'm so optimistic about where we're going. But yeah, I do want to impart and share, you know what I mean? But at the same time, my ears are open, right? And I'm learning as music is changing and tastes are changing, you know what I mean? Preferences about what people think is good music. So as much as I'm an OG trying to show love to the younger cats, you know, I want to hear what they have too.
In the night, people walking by, forever inside your eyes. Around you, I feel alive. Now, I don't know what you've been told, baby girl. You touch my soul. Tonight, I feel alive. I'ma do it my own way. Yeah, tonight I feel alive. So people keep on pushing. People keep on pushing. People keep on pushing. People keep on. Strangers in the night.
What's the advice in the direction that you give some of the younger ones when they're first trying to start out?
The advice I'd give to a young artist of any discipline is you don't have to do it broke. Passion does not require for you to do every single thing in your life and forego a quality home, car, food, or the ability to do nice things for yourself or others. And actually, many of the lessons that you learn when you start to take something seriously, no matter what it is it's transferable. You can translate those same lessons into your art or artistic discipline. So you don't have to do it broke. Don't believe you don't have to be a starving artist. You can do all these things. If you believe in having discipline and focus and determination, you can do it all.
What's next for you?
World tour. You know, me and Beyonce. Mm-hmm. Oh, we've been kicking it. What's next is a very interesting 80s themed album that I'm calling Neon Tunnel. I'm looking at doing a release of working on a project that's got some country influences on it. And next for me is the socials. You know, I'm very much interested in being more present online, going into people's homes, because you can do a show, right? It can do a show somewhere, but I may contact a handful of people there, right? But one of the most powerful things about this moment right now is we can do some amazing content and broadcast it out to tens of thousands, millions of people, if you do it well, if it's well-crafted, it makes sense. So next for me is more music that's challenging and fun, and look for me online.
Ramadan, tell me something that you've learned from Dub Mac by having him in your life.
That's a good question. Some of the things that I don't really think about, which thank you for bringing that to my attention. Something I've learned from Dub Mac would be the power of brotherhood. And the power of being amongst like-minded people. Can't do it all by yourself.
Thanks so much for listening. If you want more, you can find Dub Mac's music start to finish on GPB's YouTube page. And don't forget to leave a quick rating and review. That really does help. And if you like what we're doing here on Peach Jam, please tell somebody. Tell your friends, your neighbors, your pastor, your milkman, whoever you can find. And if this is your first time, I invite you to go back and listen to some of the other episodes. You might just find that your next favorite band lives right down the road. Coming up on the next episode, you'll meet an artist who says his family is known for two things: music and fixing your AC.
That's what people like to say down there. The Cobbs are musical and we're good at working on air conditioners, so.
Willie Cobb is on the next episode of the Peach Jam Podcast. The Peach Jam Podcast is produced, edited, and hosted by me, Jeremy Powell. If you want to recommend an artist to be on the show, send me an email, peachjam@gpb.org. Sandy Malcolm is our executive producer. Mark Davenport is our associate producer. Recording, mixing, and mastering by David Spence and Victoria Evans Cash. Special thanks to the team at Sounds Good. Find us on Instagram at Peach Jam Podcast and look for Peach Jam on TV wherever you watch Georgia Public Broadcasting. In the meantime, please support live local music and independent record stores in your area.
How does AI even work? Where does creativity come from? What's the secret to living longer? TED Radio Hour explores the biggest questions with some of the world's greatest thinkers. They will surprise, challenge, and even change you. Listen to NPR's TED Radio Hour wherever you get your podcasts.